Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Father, here we are, the church family known as Second Mile this morning. And Father, we're here this morning to worship you and to hear from you. And Father, I pray that as your Spirit ministers to us this morning, I'm reminded that while we are here, a number of our church family and friends are viewing online this morning. And I pray that your Spirit would minister to them right where they are, wherever they're viewing this service. Father, this morning I pray for our pastor as he brings the message this morning that you've laid on his heart for us to receive. I pray your blessings on the reading of your holy word, and I pray that you empower him to give the message that you would have us receive. And Father, may that message teach us, encourage us, and correct us where needed. Father, I'm reminded this morning of men and women serving in harm's way today, and I would pray for your hand of protection to be on them. And Father, that you would bring them home safely to their families. Now, Father, let us hear from you as our pastor brings the message, for it's in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Job 14. Talking about the great doctrine of resurrection this morning as we're moving through the Truth About Truth sermon series. And we're looking at this great truth that we all believe in. I just want to start with one verse. We're going to be most of the time in Job 14, but I just want to read verse 14. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. And I'm sorry for this, but I'm not sorry for it, but there is nothing quite like the Word of God. And if you would honor God's Word by standing to your feet one more time, we'll do that. If you can't stand again, just honor God's word the best way you know how. Job 14:14. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading, to the preaching and the teaching of his holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible, authoritative word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Please be seated. I meant to preach this last week, but the Holy Spirit kind of intervened. And we're looking at the doctrine of resurrection this morning. And it is, y'all have heard me say this before, it is the crucial factor of our faith. Everything hinges and hangs on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was a middle-aged couple that were really having a lot of trouble getting along, and the husband felt like the wife was always nagging him, you know, and telling him what to wear, when to get up out of bed, how to cut the grass, what clothes to put on, what to eat, how to work out, nag, nag, nag. Well, he decided one day, I'm going to make her happy if it just kills me. And so she'd had a lifelong dream to tour Jerusalem. And so he books a tour with a tour guide, and they wind up in the Holy Land, and they're visiting all these wonderful sites in Jerusalem where Jesus walked. And then, unbelievably, she slumped over and fell down dead as they were out visiting all these places. They get over to the hospital. They pronounce her dead. The undertaker comes in the room and said, "Sir, so sorry about your wife, but we can bury your wife right here in Jerusalem for $150. Or, if you want to, we can ship her back home for $5,000. Which one do you prefer? And he thought for a minute, and he said, well, you know what, I think I'll just take her back home. And he said, why would you want to spend $5,000 when she can have a beautiful burial right here? And he looked at him, he said, sir, many, many years ago, there was a man that died here. He was buried here, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and I just can't take that chance. We've been asking that question ever since day one. Shall a man live again? What happens when you die? What is there life after death? Well, Job needed an answer to his question. If a man dies, shall he live again? I mean, Job, in a horrible set of circumstances, in one day lost his family, his friend, well, most of his friends, his finances, the farm, his health. Even his wife, you remember, had said, just curse God and die. And his friends came to him, and rather than giving him good counsel and comfort, Job felt cursed. And so Job's asking that question that many are asking today, shall we live again? And I would venture to say, many of you have asked that question. And guess what? The Word of God has an answer for us today. Aren't you thankful for the Bible? Now, let's dive into this quickly. Now, Job, we're going to look at a lot of verses here in chapter 14, but Job is basically talking about the reality of death here in the first few verses, and he begins to talk about the shortness, the brevity of life. Look at verse 1. There's three key terms here. Man, here's the first one, is born of woman. The very moment your mama gave birth to you, you were old enough to die. When you took your first breath, you were old enough to take your last breath. Now, I know y'all didn't come to hear that today, amen? But it is an amazing thing how short and how life is, and really how weak and how fallible we are. Look how he describes it. Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. You know, Job describes life as being very, very short, very brief. And he describes it as a flower that blooms in full season and then it's gone. Or like a shadow that appears and then disappears and is gone. And how many of you are like Pastor Cal today? You remember when you graduated from high school and now, boom, it's way behind you. And you got more days behind you than you got to have. Life just flies when you get out of high school for some reason. Amen? I mean, I woke up in bed sick 10 days ago, turning 65 into bed. I mean, life has just flown by. It's so short. It's a few days. And then Job reminds us, just like Job was having all kinds of trouble, life is full of troubles. Man, there's trouble in our world. There's trouble in Afghanistan. There's trouble in Haiti. There's trouble down in Louisiana. There's trouble in our southern counties. Diane and I drove through there through Waverly the night before last. There's trouble in our southern counties. The crowd's light today. COVID is on uptick again. There's trouble in the healthcare system and industry. Amen. I mean, I've said it before. I'll say it again. We're either getting ready to come into trouble. We're either in the midst of trouble. We're coming out of trouble. It's our common denominator. Everybody understands. And so Job reminds us that life is so brief. It's so short. And it's full of trouble. And then he talks about look at verse 5, the finality of death. He says, since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limit so that he cannot pass. Did you know that God not only has your name, he's got your number? Our days are numbered. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Our days are numbered. He knows how much time we've got left. Now you don't, but we're trying everything we can to get out of that appointment, aren't we? Right? I mean, bless God. We're getting facelifts. We're getting tummy tucks. We're getting new hips and new lips. We're wearing bifocals and trifocals and hearing aids and all kinds of things. We've had our knees replaced and other body parts have been misplaced. Our bodies are winding down. Death is coming. Really, Psalm 90 in verse 10 says that the average lifespan of a person is 70 years. And if you get 80 or more, you've been especially blessed. Now, I won't ask who's 70. And I'm sure not going to ask who's 80. But that's our life. And Psalm 31:15 says that our lives are in His hands. Daniel 5:23 says even our breath is in His hands. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't really like to stay focused on it, but bless God, if Jesus tarries just a few more years, everybody in here is going to have to face what Job was facing. Right? So let's move to something positive. And so after this reality of death thing, he begins to talk about the reality of desire. And he begins to talk about this hope of resurrection. And he begins with the promise of resurrection. Look at verse 7. For there is hope for a tree. Hallelujah, that means there's hope for me. I thought that was really cute, y'all. Goodness gracious. There is hope for a tree, if it's cut down, that it'll sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease, though its root may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. That's the promise of resurrection. Every now and then, Job thinks, you know what, I could die. This could be the end of things for me. And he begins to speculate about life, and he's asking this question, shall a man live again? And he brings up the example of a tree. You know, sometimes a tree either gets cut down or it gets blown down or torn down, and then all that's left is a stump. And with proper sunshine and proper nourishment, proper water, a shoot will come up, and before long a tree has replaced that old tree. That's the promise of resurrection, isn't it? I mean, that is our desire, that a man should live again, that a woman should live again. But of course, as we all know, there's a problem with resurrection. Look at verse 10. But man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last. And where is he? In other words, we're not like the trees. We're not like vegetation. We don't have a root system, right? Look at verse 11. As water disappears from the sea and a river becomes parched and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. Yeah, death is coming for all of us. But we're still asking that question. Is there any hope? Is there life after death? What happens when a man dies? We're all asking that question that Job was asking so many, many, many years ago. And I've said all of that to get to this today. I want us to look at deliverance, the reality of deliverance. First of all, Job says we wait for his calling. We wait for his calling. Look at verse 13. Oh, now remember where Job's at. Man, he's sitting there. He's all cut up and bruised up. He's got boils all over his body. He's lost everything that you can think of. And he's sitting on some ash heap. And he says, oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. Verse 15, you shall call and I will answer you. Job confidently said, Lord, remember me and call me. Remember me and call me. You know, there is something special. Well, the Bible says, I've heard Billy Walker quote this verse many times, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. When a believer dies, his or her soul, who you really are, along with your spirit, which gives you the capacity to love and to worship, all of that goes immediately to be with Jesus. But your body goes to the grave, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And I believe, now this is what I believe, and if you don't believe that, that's okay. You've got a right to be wrong. But I believe Jesus is going to call your name when he gets ready to restore your body and your soul and your spirit. One day, in the rapture, he's coming in the clouds, not literally to the earth, in the rapture, and I believe the scripture says he's coming with a shout. What do you think he's going to shout? I don't know. Every time Jesus shouted in the Bible, somebody sprang to life. So I think we'll probably hear our name, and immediately our bodies will be reunited with our soul and spirit, and we'll have a body like his. Hallelujah. One day, how many of y'all heard that Linda Randall song, "One Day Jesus Will Call My Name"? One day Jesus will call my name. Have y'all not heard that? Y'all need to get out. Mercy, that's a great song. It's about one day Jesus is going to call my name. And bless God, you've heard me say it before, Gabriel's going to toot and we're going to scoot. Glory to God. And so Job sang, we wait for his calling. We wait for his calling. And then we wait for our change. Look at verse 14. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. It sounds to me like he's speaking pretty confidently. He believes something's going to happen, that there is possibly life after death. He's going to wait on the Lord's call, and he's going to wait on the Lord's change. Now, Jesus said in Revelation 11 and verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. So this change that takes place, how is God going to put us back together again? I love that old Humpty Dumpty nursery rhyme, don't y'all? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men tried to put Humpty back together again. But you know what that nursery rhyme doesn't tell you? It doesn't tell you anything about the king. The king could have put Humpty back together again. And our king can put us together. Anyone that can speak and the whole world come into existence out of absolutely nothing is able to put us back together. Oh yeah, I'm going to the grave somewhere. My dust is going to return to dust. I'm going to take my last breath. It's going to be gone. But I am going to be changed. That's what the Bible said. Billy's going to be teaching on it. 1 Corinthians 15. Our bodies are sown in corruption. They're sown in weakness. They're sown in dishonor. But hallelujah, we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Jesus is going to come, and we're going to receive our glorified bodies, our bodies and our spirit and our soul. You say, your body's not ready for heaven. Mine's not either, because sin's done a number on us. And so we need to be made brand new. And in the salvation experience, God gives us a new heart. And in the rapture experience, God will give us a new body. And you'll be able to travel at the speed of thought. Bubba, you can think of that favorite golf course and you'll be there. I mean, you can think of that favorite person and immediately you're right there with them. And our bodies are not going to be bound by time, space, and matter. I love what 1 John 3:2 says. It says, we shall be like him. Can you imagine that? I mean, when I receive my glorified body, I don't know if it's going to be resurrection or rapture, but I'm good with either one. I'm going to get my change, and you're going to see me, and you're going to say, is that you, Brother Cal? I'm going to say, yeah, it's me, it's me, it's Ernest T. And you'll say, my, what an improvement. We'll look somewhat like the same, but we'll be different because we'll be like him. Amen. Glory. We wait for his call. We wait for our change. And bless God, here's what keeps me going. We wait for his coming. Hadn't it been an awful week? I mean, I'm so tired of hearing about illness and sickness and COVID and disaster over in Afghanistan, people dying and being killed. I'm so tired of hearing about tornadoes and hurricanes and floods, and I'm so tired of all this bad news, trouble here, trouble there, trouble everywhere. But bless God, Jesus is coming. He's coming. Look at your neighbor and tell him he's coming. Do y'all not have a neighbor in here? Tell somebody he's coming. We need to be encouraged today. Now, Job answers his own question dynamically. Here in Job chapter 19, turn over in your Bibles. I want everybody to see this. Job chapter 19, we wait for his coming. Look at verse 25. Job 19, 25, if you're there, say, I'm coming. Job 19, 25 says, for I know, I don't hope so, guess so, maybe so, I know that my Redeemer lives and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. I know my Redeemer lives. I hope you know this Redeemer. His name is Jesus. And he has given us not only redemption, but resurrection and rapture. And we could go on and on this morning. But because he lives, you can too. Because he defeated death, hell, and the grave. Because he won, you can too. You don't have to live a defeated life because he lives. You don't have to live a discouraged, depressed, down and out life. Why? Because he lives. He lives. And how do I know this Redeemer? The Bible is crystal clear. If you'd be willing to repent, to turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ, forsaking everyone and everything else, that he's all you need for salvation and redemption, just by simply calling on his name, guess what? Because he lives, you can too. Forever and forever with him. We're going to sing an invitational hymn of response. I don't know who needs the king. I don't know who needs to be redeemed today, but he does. And we want to ask you to just get right with God today. He's coming. Christian, are you right with God? Is there any unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life? Now's the time to get that issue right with him. And if you need Christ, if you need redemption, man, we'd love to share with you how you can come to know him. Let's all stand. Brother Andrew's going to lead us. You come. That's all you've got to do. Just come. That's a good Bible word. Just come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.